because I don't know that I can move through this pain. And then as I said that, I heard myself wishing away my actual life that was actually beautiful.
Well, I'm here naked. That's the truth, and so are you, and it's okay to remember that it's okay to really feel it, feel every little bit.
Hello and welcome to what is the 50th episode of the Getting Naked with Nate podcast. I'm your host, Nate Maingard, and I don't think there could be a more fitting 50th episode. I have to acknowledge before we continue, it's not technically 50. I am not great with numbers or keeping track of things or organization. And so there have been a few moments where I've lost track of things since I started this podcast. So even for the fact that what's number, the first episode was actually the second episode, and then I missed one or two here or there. So somewhere around that amount. But according to the numbers that we're following right now, this is number 50, and I'm going to stick with it. And that's all there is to it. Today's episode features the lovely, the wonderful, the amazing Kina Granis. If you haven't heard of her, you really should. And if you have, then you know why. I met Kina a few years ago at the Patreon conference called PatriCon. And at that first meeting, I was a little awestruck because she is one of my great inspirations. She's one of the people who I think does online music professionally really well. She has an epic YouTube. She has an incredible community. She has an amazing Patreon. And in that first moment that I met her, it just all, what it all connected together in this moment of this is such a human. This is such a wonderful person with all her intricacies and her strengths and her vulnerabilities and everything in between. And so she was super courageous in today's episode and went deep with me into some really challenging topics, some really wonderful topics. She gives us insight into a few of her songs, and it was just amazing. I really loved this conversation. And what was kind of funny about it afterwards was that once we kind of finished, both of us sent each other messages. My messages was like, I think I spoke way more than I should have, and I'm sorry that I did that. And hers was like, I think I said all the wrong things, and I'm sorry that I did that. And it's just to go and show that all of us, so many of us, maybe not all of us, I speak for myself, and certainly in this case, it seems Kina as well. We are wandering around in this world with these insecurities and these fears about who we are and how we are and how we show up and the way that we do things. Even though for me, this podcast is really not about interviewing people, it's about having a conversation, and in conversations, both people speak, I still feel like I speak too much. And so there is that. And yet the feedback from Kina was, dude, you were amazing. I loved everything you said. It was so great. And my feedback to Kina was like, you said all the wonderful things. You did beautifully. It was fantastic. And so here we are, humaning together. This is really, really special. So some of the things we cover, just to give you a little preview, we've got some Kina's morning practice and how nearly going to jail inspired her to start it. also, a little bit about her gratitude journal. She was recently featured in a movie called Crazy Rich Asians, her playing a song, and I don't want to give it away if you haven't seen it, but we talked briefly about that and the experience of her seeing herself in a movie, and that it was just a beautiful moment. I really, really loved that moment. And yeah, we talked about a lot of other things, all really precious, all really special. She got very intimate about some of the challenges she's confronted or is confronting in her life and how she's facing those and rising to them and how they're helping her grow. Oh, just wonderful on all levels. So yeah, please enjoy this episode. And as always, if you love it, review it. Visit the site nakedwithnate.com. The show notes are at nakedwithnate.com/Kina. K-I-N-A, super easy to remember. So yeah, I've just got back from 10 days in the wilderness with my sweetheart, Carly. We've been learning how to survive in the wild. We did a wilderness survival course, and it was super intense, really hard, but also really rewarding. I feel very grateful, and I'm now focused on stabilizing and continuing to grow and deepen my relationship with myself, with Carly, and with the world. Some of that means that one of the interests for me is how do I spend less time on the interwebs, on my computer, on my phone, and more time in nature with other people, playing music around fires, being connected in those really precious ways that seem to be fading daily as these machines ask for more and more and more of our time, more and more and more of my time. I don't know what your time's like, but I'd love to hear. And yeah, if you love this podcast, I have a Patreon page, which is kind of in pause mode while I focus on releasing my new mini album, Echoes, which comes out on the 21st of December. So it's still there. You can still support if you'd like. You can also leave a one-off tip if you like, even. You can go to nate.live/tip to do that, which is super simple. And the main thing is I just love to hear from you. Anytime that you feel that you want to say hey and let me know what's going on, you can go to nakedwithnate.com/voicenote and leave me a voice note there, which would be super cool. Or you can leave a written message as well if that's more your thing. So yeah, this is an interactive experience. Kina is an incredible human. This conversation was super inspiring for me. I hope it is for you. And please enjoy the wonderful Kina Granis. Well, first of all, I really just wanted to say thank you so much. This has been in the making for, I don't know how long, but a long time.
I'm so excited we finally pulled it off.
Yeah.
Well, like both of our brains were like, you'd be like, ready? And like, nope, I'm in a bad place. And then we'd like fall out and finally work.
Here we are. Ta-da. To, I think one of the reasons, so like, because we first met at PatriCon, the first PatriCon, which was amazing. And my experience of you was that you were like a rock star in my mind, because you were like this epic YouTube superstar. And then somehow it happened that when we were doing that like improv circle, that we were just next to each other and was just like, should we do the thing? And we did the thing. And immediately I was like, this is such a human. This is like the most human. I love this person. This is so cool. And so I guess I would love to start with that day, because there was like this experience. Then we went and we had this like speaking circle, and there was something going on, and I felt this like vibe, and I just wanted to come over to you and just be like, hey, how are you? And so what was going on there? Tell me some stories.
Oh man. So yeah, things like that, kind of, you know, mingly social things in general. And then in specific, when you're sitting in a circle and you're doing the, let's go around in a circle and everyone answer this prompt, probably one of my biggest fears in life. Just, I had so much anxiety that day. And this is a thing I've experienced a lot in life, and I think I'm getting better. But as I feel this desire to connect, like I just want to connect with people so much, and I want to just be open and see people and be seen. But in that context, like I lock up and I feel like I don't remember who I am or what to say or how to be. And then I say an answer and I'm like, you idiot. Why did that so stupid? And then, so I think I left that being like, there were thoughts I had that I wanted to share, but I was afraid to share. And the ones I did share, I feel like I didn't communicate well. And so I left. I feel like for the second half of that circle, I was like on the verge of tears, but trying to act totally okay. And so I think when you came up to me being like, hey, what's going on? It's one of, you know, when you're finally seen and I'm like, oh no, here we go. And it just kind of all came out, and I did a lot of crying and processing after that. Yeah, that's where my head was at.
It's so interesting. I wonder how different the world could be if we had a society that taught us at school how to human together, like how to say, like if we had had the education that there could have been a moment where you'd just be like, hey everyone, I just want to let you know that this is where I'm at right now. And that was like a normal social interaction. And we could have all been like, wow, thank you so much for sharing your feelings.
Yeah.
And why? Anyway, I think we're doing that though. Like we're working on it.
That exact thing you just said, I've thought about so much, where if every situation, if it was normal to start with, let me just, before we go into like, oh, hi, how's it going? Like, okay, come in. And then everyone gets to do a check-in where you're like, I had a weird day. And right now I'm feeling a little shaky and I'm a little nervous, but here I am. And then there's no more pretense. You don't have to pretend anymore because you're seen. And then it feels so much better. But it's like so weird. In some contexts, you can do that. And it's so amazing. And then other contexts, I feel like people would be like, what are you doing? I'm so uncomfortable. Yeah, don't tell me your feelings.
But I feel like that's actually how we come. I mean, and maybe this is just my opinion on this, but like, I feel like we come naturally into this world with that openness as the default. And then, so I remember myself, like I was at, you know, in school, whatever, maybe 10 years old, 10, 11 years old. And I wanted to just tell people how I felt. Like that was my thing. And I got quite severely bullied because of that. And I learned pretty quickly that that was not what was accepted within the greater context of my, the social circles that were like around me. And I still, that's just so, it's so sad. It's actually really sad if I think about it, that we come into this world as these beautiful little like flowers that just want to be like, I just want people to come and smell the beautiful scents that I'm throwing off and we can all just.
And then
what happens? It's so sad.
It is so sad. Like I have a memory when I was in kindergarten, so I must've been like 5 or 6. And I remember walking up to a group of people that I didn't know. It was like the first day of kindergarten, which is a thing that I've never done since and will never do again. But I just walked up and it was a group of girls. And I think I said something like, "Hey guys," I'm just like, "there's some new people. I want to meet them." And kind of like the leader girl looked at me and she's like, "We're not guys, we're girls." And then they like closed the circle. And then I feel like that was the moment in my brain where I'm like, okay, everyone hates you. Don't ever talk to anyone again. It's okay. You know? But
that's how severe it is. That's the actual real thing. Like people don't give credit to the little things that give us the entire structure of how we run our lives going forward. Mm-hmm. Like that's, oh, what a sad story. And thank you for sharing that. Like I bet you that there are so many people who listen to this who could have that story. And I would actually love to hear. Like I think to me, the whole point of this podcast and the whole point of I think what I'm trying to do in the world is just invite us all to just show up. And like find those safe spaces, show up in the safe spaces, like find where there are the people like us who are like, "I want to hear your stories. Come and say, hey guys, to me, cause I'm totally available." And I, so if there is anyone listening to this, who's like, "I have a story like that," please share it on the comments or somewhere. The comments I think will be at nakedwithnate.com/Kina. I think that's where I'll put it. So,
okay, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Ooh, have you always been able to be an open book? Have you always been able to share?
That's a really good question. I have always not been able to hide. Like that's, okay. I think that that's, I really tried to do the hiding thing and it just didn't. I couldn't. I just, it hurt me. Like actually
it
I started to.
So bad.
Right.
I was a professional hider for a long time and it makes you die. It's terrible.
Recovering hiders.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and I think that there, when I see the world and I interact with the world, I see that that happens so much of the time. And I think that's part of my, like the invitation that I'm, that like the universe or God or whatever has given to me is like, I am a catalyst for unhiding. And so that's what I'm trying to be very sensitive with is like, I've had so many experiences where I'm chatting with someone and I'll say, like I did with you when we met. And I'm like, "What's that there?" And suddenly this person's in this very emotional state. And I'm like, "Well, I'm sorry. I think, oh, no, I'm not sorry. You're welcome. I don't know." And so there's this like, it's this, but it's a very delicate place to hold is to realize that by connecting authentically, we are also inviting one another into those shadowy, scary, secret places that we don't really show people. Like that's some profound stuff right there. And it has power and it can cause harm if it's not held in a way that is sacred and beautiful and caring and loving. So
yeah.
Oh, let's just keep. And that's what I love about you. That is actually one of the reasons that I have so fallen in love with the person that you are is because somehow in this wild, mad, intense world, you have stayed real and you have done it in a way that is inspiring and making happy like millions of people. And so well done, Kina, like really.
That's from, very like, nice.
I sincerely feel that. I guess, so I'd love to know like what, there was a question that came up for me that I wanted to ask you, which is, have you arrived? And I'll just fill that out a little bit. I'll fill that out a little bit just because it's a weird question. And you, because from my perspective, I look at where you are and I think as an artist, as a creator, as a professional, that's where I would like to be. Mm. And I just wonder, you being where I'd like to be, do you feel like you've arrived? Mm. Where are you with that? That's
such an interesting question. Because, so there's like professionally, and then there's like as a human, which yeah. like definitely becomes very clear as a human that I will have never arrived. Like always trying to arrive as a human. I want to say no, but I also feel like there's a lot of, but then it's like also maybe, okay, that's, it's weird. It's weird for me to use the sentence, yes, I have arrived. I've never thought of it that way. And I don't know that I feel that way, but I would say that I had a kind of a hunger and a drive for a while that I was like needing to keep going. And not that I've given up on going. I'm so bad at talking, Nate. I'm so sorry. I should only ever be allowed to speak in songs because I'm so bad at this. It's like, so I'm a person who's, I've never done the goal things. I was never like, I need to play this venue and get this big. I was just like, I want to keep growing and keep sharing music and hopefully I can share it with more people. And so there was an added fire for a time. And I'm not sure if this is as a result of getting to where I am or having gone through some really big life changes that shifted my perspective. But suddenly, maybe in the last year, I do feel this peace about where I'm at, where I'm like, I could just be here and that would be beautiful and just keep sharing and not, I don't know. It's an interesting place to be. I don't even know if I answered your question.
No, I think you did. And so this is the thing. I mean, one of the things I also see reflected in you, and you can tell me if I'm off on any of this, but it's like the sense of, I don't know, like even what you just said, I don't talk so good. Like that kind of vibe of like, I'm not quite enough. Like I'm not just like, I'm sorry for the fact that I'm not quite there. Cause like I do that all the time and I hear you doing that and it's okay. Like it's, that's because we come from the world that we come from. And that is like such a common, but then you did, you've shared literally, you said exactly it, which is that you have this feeling of being here. And I think of like being, hey, I'm okay with this. And I've been really, it's funny how it connects, but I've been working on the sort of description for this podcast. And basically one of the things I struggle with most is defining myself and what I do and how it comes into the world and how people, that whole thing. But part of what I've said, like the first sentence is like in a world that tells us that to be other than what we are, that it's really freaking hard to be yourself. And so I guess that's why the question is like, because even professionally, it's like, okay, we go to school and once you finish school, well done, then you'll be there. Oh, no, sorry. You actually have to study and you have to have a degree and then you'll be there. Oh, no, wait, you have to get the job and the husband and the wife and the dogs and the thing and then you'll be there. And it's like there's this constant moving goalpost of life that even, you know, professionally or as a human or anything, we're shown or told or taught that we've got to be always there, never here. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It makes so much sense. And Jesse and I were actually having a conversation this morning. We're having some tea and I was saying how, so I love reading all these books on like consciousness and meditation and self and all of that fun stuff, right? And I go in and out of big phases of it. And in the last couple of days, I felt this way before in life, but I'm like, I told Jesse, I'm like so excited, but it also feels a little unnerving because I feel like I'm on the cusp of like grasping something new and I just want to grasp it. And Jesse was like, but that's all, we're always going to be learning. And you're never really on the cusp because there's always, and I'm like, no, but please just let me be on the cusp and please let me grab it and get there. And he's like, it's not how it works. We just have to keep growing. And like, it just keeps going. And it's so human for us to want to be like, oh, see that thing in the future when I get there, it's going to feel so good. But that's not how being human works, unfortunately.
I guess, I mean, I'm so with you. It's so beautifully said. I think of my dad a lot in those kind of ways when, because he, he basically started meditating like full on about 10 years ago. Don't quote me on that, but plus minus, he went and did Vipassana meditation. I don't know if you've heard of it. But anyway, if anyone hasn't heard, it's like mm-hmm. a 10-day silent meditation, not a retreat. It's like a workshop. You sit and you meditate for like 11 hours a day. It is so intense and so intense.
So intense.
And he did that. But then he did the thing that almost no one else I know has done, including myself who did Vipassana, is he stayed with it every day. He sits and he meditates for up to an hour every morning. And he has changed in ways that I cannot... Like he went from being the kind of guy who was so reactive, any little thing and he'd be off exploding, to the kind of guy who just like, it just keeps coming. And he's like, yeah, okay. Like just, and.
It's so beautiful.
But the reason I thought of that now is because even he says like, this funny thing happens sometimes when he's meditating where he suddenly gets it, you know, like he's there, his whole body disappears, he becomes one with everything. And then he's like, oh my God, I'm totally there. And then that thought of like, I'm totally there means he's not totally there anymore.
Yes. Yeah. I have so been in that moment. And then it makes it even worse because you just want that moment so much.
Exactly.
Like more intensely, which makes it so much harder to get
to. Actually, which brings me to, one of the things I really wanted to ask you about was, and I want to ask you about this, and then I want to listen to one of your songs. So the thing I wanted to ask about is your morning practice, because you've said to me a while ago, I don't know if you've still got it going on. I recently dropped out of my morning practice for like almost a month and it felt really hard. I was so hard on myself about it, which I always am. But the last few mornings, I've kind of been picking it up gently again. But do you have a morning practice? What is it? Does it change? And what does it do for you?
Yeah. So I've recently fallen out. I find that when I travel, when you travel, that's when you should have it the most. It's when it could be there for you the most. And it's when it feels the most impossible for me to do it. And then coming home makes it hard. So I have fallen out a little and I'm trying to rebuild. And I've also found that mine has been evolving a lot, but I would say it's generally when I'm in it right, it's some combination of first not looking at my phone until it's done. Actually, I will look at texts because I want to make sure nothing terrible has happened in the world or in my family. So check texts and then almost like put my phone in a drawer, pretend it doesn't exist. And then some order of a little bit of movement, whether that's a walk or like a little bit of like a little push-up-y jumping jack circuit type thing, meditation and a little bit of reading. And some version of those three things, when I do those, I feel like I've already won. Like no matter what happens in the day, I'm like, oh, I did it. I did all the things. I took care of myself. And it just makes me go into the day a little more grounded without the world like pouring in first before I've thought about what I want to do. Does it feel similar for you?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So the thing you said about the phone, like I am and have been for a long time really addicted to my phone and to social media, to technology in general. And it is like a daily battle for me. And one of the key pieces for me right now in terms of lessons and learning is gentleness with myself, no matter what I'm doing. And that is like the hardest. So literally this morning, I was up super early. I'm waking up really early at the moment, just naturally. And I went and looked, I think the first thing, I was on my phone, I was already on social media, but then I went and I wrote my morning journal. I had a cup of tea.
That's so huge to come back from that and not be like, well, I messed up today.
Exactly,
so
which
today's
is
done.
So my vibe. Like I'm usually like, I messed up today so I can never do this again. Like that's my usual. And I did it. And then I did some breath work and some meditation and then I was on my phone a bit more, but it was like just letting it go a little bit. Instead of this idea that if I don't do a certain thing or I do a certain thing, then I'm a bad person or I'm a good person or... That stuff is poison for me. Like, and so, but then to answer what you said around, yes, if I do get that stuff done, and even this morning when I did get that stuff done and intermingled with the social media, I still went into my day like, I'd done some good shit. Like whatever else happens, I took care of me, you know, like that. So yeah, 100%. Yeah, thank you. That's beautiful. I love that. I love when you had your hands up when you were saying like something. I was like, oh, is she going to be boxing for a while? So,
yeah, that's a weird, uncomfortable person. But actually, you know, this will tie into one of the songs we can go to. But the place in my life where morning rituals began and where I had them the strongest was during my time where my band and I were kind of trapped in Jakarta, trying not to go to jail for some time. This is always such a hard one because for people that don't know what I'm talking about, they're very confused, and I don't want to go into an incredibly long story. But
well, I think we should have that song, and I think you should tell. We can listen to the song, and then you can tell that story. Okay, so what is the name of this song?
This song is called For Now.
Sometimes I think about the ones that we've replaced, all the millions underneath the burnt waste. And I get sad because of course we'll be the same, all of history collapsing in its wake. Oh, maybe it's enough that I am enough that I have known inside my head, and maybe it's enough to know that we were here together and that we are the ones, we are the ones, we are the ones for now. I heard that someday when they look up at the night, they'll see nothing but a black and starless sky. And they'll tell stories of some old and callow time, claiming spectacles of brilliant burning lights. Oh, maybe it's enough that I am laid here. Maybe it's enough that I am known inside my head. Enough to know that we were here together and that we are the ones, we are the ones, we are the ones for now. Just that I have been alive, and I'll be happy if I look back on my life. Been a sister, been a mother, been a wife. Oh, maybe it's enough that I am laid here. Maybe it's enough that I am known inside my head. And it's enough to know that we were here together and that we are the ones, we are the ones, we are the ones for now.
Whoa.
That's for now.
Oh, that is such a moving song.
Thanks.
I'm trying to keep my shit together right now. Wow, that is so beautiful. Okay.
Thank you,
Kina. Oh, so, if you'd like to share, you said that this song is connected to a time that inspired you to start your morning practice, and it was something to do with trying not to go to jail. So please tell us a little more about that.
Oh, boy. Okay, so... I'll try to do the condensed version, but my band and I were going on tour to Southeast Asia, and basically, the first stop was in Jakarta, Indonesia. Unbeknownst to us, there had been a mishap with our visas. And we played the show. And basically, yeah, the people in charge of our visas didn't have it set up. They told us we did. And then by playing the show, we'd basically committed visa fraud. And but we didn't know this for weeks. We were like, what's going on? So they basically took us in and they took our passports and they're like, you're in a bad way, but we didn't know what was happening. Finally, they took us in and kind of questioned all of us and basically said, look, you broke a law and the punishment is 5 years in jail. So that's what you're looking at. And we at first were like, well, certainly this is a mistake because, you know, our contract said that this party was in charge of our visas and they told us our visas were good. So are we forgiven? And they're like, nope, it's your passport. So it's your crime. And so we embarked on this crazy journey of trying to find a way home while knowing we very well might end up in jail for 5 years. And it was a really, it was very intense. You kind of go through all those things they talk about where first it's denial. You're like, don't worry, this isn't actually happening. We're just going to leave in a couple of days. And then after that, I don't do a lot of anger in my life. So I luckily skipped over that one, but like Jesse, he felt some anger. I went straight into just the depths of sadness for a while. And that lasted for a time. It was just like that, just pain and fear and sadness in your whole body. And then slowly it sunk in. They told us that we might not have a trial for 5 or 9 months. At that any point in that time, they could just put you into prison in the interim because we were in a hotel. So it was just so much uncertainty. And then I really started thinking about, okay, I might go to jail and I might be here for 9 months living in this uncertainty. So I really shouldn't just be wallowing that my life has been like taken away from me. And all, like, I started to wake up to what was real, which is like, oh, I'm still breathing. I still have my body and I can still learn. And so I started just filling my brain with like content that was inspiring, that felt good. And I started meditating every day and I did a gratitude journal every day. And I really started taking exercise seriously. And then like a month or so after doing this, all of a sudden there was like this space that I came into where I was like, I am so okay. like I felt good and so grateful because I really felt that what more could I ask for than to just be alive still and have people that I love that are somewhere else. And that suddenly that was more than enough. And I like tasted that pure like truth there, you know, that it starts to crumble and you become human again.
Yeah, yeah.
Like those moments of meditation. But for a moment I was like, oh, it's so easy. It's so clear. And in that moment is when this song was born out of kind of that clarity of, oh, I can hold all this pain and fear and also be totally okay and happy and grateful. And it was a really cool moment.
I love that. Like this lesson that keeps coming to me, and actually I just had this really profound kind of medicinal experience over the weekend. And I realized that I kept having these things of getting into this very intense headspace of like, oh, it's so difficult and all the work that I have to do and all the things I have to unravel and heal and all this stuff. And then I kept coming back into my body and just being like, I'm human and I'm doing really well and it's okay. Nathan, well done, Nathan. Like just, it's okay. And it was just like, oh, yes. Like
yes.
That.
I think about that too. You know, we get to a point where we're so hard on ourselves. Like, how have I not figured this out yet? Like, how am I still struggling with these same things? But then you think about how, you know, I'm 34. That's in the scope of the universe. I'm like very new here. I have no idea what's going on. I haven't you know? So it's, we're learning everything from scratch, and we expect ourselves to know everything and to do it perfectly, but we're all humans. Like, even 80-year-old humans are kind of just babies. Like, we're just getting to these moments in life, and we're just having to figure it all out. And so, yeah, we got to be nicer to ourselves.
Yeah, please. And I think from there, it's that beautiful saying. So, like, I love all the teachers who've come, because they have so many beautiful lessons and words for us, which don't always help because we ignore the crap, or I ignore the crap out of them. But in this case, there's one that's one of the most commonly known ones. It's so simple. Love thy neighbor. Love yourself as you love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And it's love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the whole thing there is, I think a lot of people miss the point that if you aren't loving yourself, there ain't no love in your neighbor. And it's like, there's this idea of it's selfish to like look inward and look after yourself and take care of yourself. But I'm really, the more that I learn, the more that I realize, like, if I can really love myself, really care for myself, then I have all this capacity to care for everyone. And
yeah. And you're using words that are very helpful. So I've struggled with that exact thought before. Okay, I know I'm supposed to love myself, but what does that mean? Because everyone's like, just once you love yourself, like, it all falls into place. And I think I think many people can misunderstand that, where to love yourself is to like think that you're so awesome and the best and just, but you also used the word care. It's to like care deeply for yourself. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to be like, I'm the best thing in the world. And so when I had that shift, I was like trying to break this down a couple years ago. I was like, oh, what if I think about it how I love my sisters? If I could take myself out of my body and put it in front of me, and here's this human who's trying their hardest, and I know where they struggle and I know where they've made mistakes, but I see them get up and I see them wanting to do more. I'm not going to berate them for those mistakes. I'm going to be like, I see you. You're trying so hard. Like, you're doing it and I love you. And it's that caring for yourself. It's not being full of yourself. It's just seeing yourself for the human you are and then being gentle with that. So I loved that you said that, because that was it for me. It's not falling. It's not like being in love with yourself. It's caring deeply for this little being that you're in charge of.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly. Oh, I love it. This is such a fun reflection, because it's like I get more insights through the insights you, like, we just, the reflections of insights. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's exactly that. Like, because I also used to think that, like, and I do still think loving myself is taking care of myself in terms of how I act, like the action of yoga or meditation or eating good food. And the big lesson right now for me is that when I'm on social media and I've been on it for an hour and a half and I should have been doing millions of other things, if in that very moment I can go, Nathan, I love you. It's okay. Yeah. That is like the,
which makes so much sense, because you weren't doing it to be delinquent. You weren't doing it to hurt yourself. You're doing it because it's a drug and it got us and it's hard. And then to have that space to step back is so, I got to work on that part. Cause when I do that, I'm just like, oh, you wasted your day. What have you done? But yeah, we got to be like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
I love you. And you can stop now.
Yeah, exactly that. It's that, it's not, what's it like being nice. People think that being nice is kindness or love, where in that kind of niceness, even if we're doing it to ourselves, like, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You can just keep doing it like that.
Right.
It's like, that is not helping. That's actually, we're treating ourselves like a child that we're spoiling because we don't want to upset the child, when it's actually right. What the child needs is like, I love you so much. I understand where you're coming from. And can we look at doing something else now? Like, is this, can we just, what are the options here? So, what a balance to find. oh my gosh. I have to say, I listened to in the like researching Kina today, because I'm really bad at that kind of stuff generally, but I was like, let me just at least Google Kina and just see what comes up. And I was like, I want to see some of your videos. I haven't watched any of your videos recently. I'm getting segued here. I'm segueing myself, sidelining, but your song Fire is just one of the most fantastic songs ever. That's amazing.
Thank you.
But today I listened to the one, what's the one on Crazy Rich Asians? Is that the name of the movie?
Oh, Can't Help Falling in Love.
Oh, Elvis my cover. Gosh. Can I ask, I mean, maybe if you can't tell me, you don't want to tell me, but the video that's on YouTube with the two microphones, and was that, like, did you play it and then put
That's real live.
Holy.
Real live.
Because I listened to, I was watching your, I was like, that seems like I'm seeing that and that's happening.
I'm so glad that you could see and appreciate that.
Yeah, well, because the quality of the sound, your voice and the whole feeling of it. I was like, this, how could, that is a live song. That is just next level. Like anyone listening to this who doesn't know how much skill and commitment and passion it takes to do what Kina did in that song, I'm going to put that song in the show notes and you need to go and listen to that.
Yay.
Because it is profoundly beautiful. Like you just hit it. Did you have a relationship with that song? Like it felt there was something there.
So, it's so weird how this stuff happens. I was doing like a random, it was maybe like an Instagram live or something like that one day. I was just hanging out with people and going through songs and I'd never sang that song before. Then all of a sudden I was like, ooh, what would it feel like to sing that song? I didn't even know it that well. Like probably the version I knew best was like, what was it called? UB
40.
That's the one I know. And I started playing it and immediately felt really emotional. And then I kind of stopped because I didn't know much of it. And then later Jesse was home and I started playing it and we both started crying. It's one of those things where like, whoa, something in this song, like I need to sing it. And so it kind of just came out of nowhere, but I did feel that immediately upon singing it. There's something in this song that is so important and that I felt so connected to.
Nice. Oh, I'm going to be listening to that song a lot. I must say watching that movie was special. Like I know, you know, I consider you a friend and but we've really only met one another like twice in the flesh, but yeah. I really have felt such a nice connection with you. And it was a lovely moment to watch that movie. And then there's that moment where I don't want to like spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but there's a moment where there's a Kina and it's amazing. And I was just like, I was very excited. I'm still very excited. It was so. How did that feel? I mean, did you watch like a premiere of that, or where did you see it?
Yeah, I saw a premiere with the cast and crew.
Whoa.
And that was insane. I basically cried through the whole movie because I felt the energy of everyone in that room and all the change that was happening. Like, oh my gosh, these Asian faces being leads in a movie. And it all hit me really intensely that night. It was kind of more that bigger picture. But then when it came out in theaters, I went with a group of friends and I was sitting between Jesse and my friend Alex. And I was more at that point, you know, like, oh, my peers are here. I'm really like, should I be embarrassed? Is this going to be weird? And then it started and my friend Alex just like grabbed my hand and I grabbed Jesse's hand and we were all just like, I was just shaking and crying and it felt so insane. So it was, it was so beautiful to get to share it with people that likewise were like, what is happening? This doesn't make any sense.
Totally.
So really intense moment.
Oh, I love that. I had the closest I can think of in my own life that I came to that was there's a festival here in South Africa called the National Arts Festival. So it's like the South Africa's National Arts Festival. It happens once a year. It's a 10-day festival. It brings people, performers, drama, art, exhibitions, like all kinds of different art from all over the world and from all over South Africa. And I was going there, what year was that? It must have been, I think it was 2011. And I had just started playing music professionally. 2009, I had just started. And I wasn't even officially, I don't think I was even on the bill, but I just went because I had friends playing there. And I was like, I'm just going to go and see the vibe and get connected. And so the whole town turns into this festival, the whole place. And I just arrived. The day that I was just like tired from the long drive, I walked into the big like auditorium kind of hall place where you get your tickets and where like there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people everywhere with posters plastered on every wall of everything happening. And I walked in and I'm going to go and find someone to get something. I can't remember what, but I walked and I started getting this weird feeling like
something is happening and I don't understand exactly what it is, but I'm not getting it. And suddenly I clicked through the loudspeakers on the entire big system was my song playing.
Oh my God.
And I just was like, I literally was like, what is going on? How is this even... Like, what the? And I actually went and found, I was like, does anyone know who's running the music? Because like, what, I literally am no one. I've just recorded my first little acoustic album with my guitar in a friend's basement. Like, how is that playing on the speakers? And it turned out that the guy who was the DJ knew a woman that I knew was a friend with, and she'd given him the CD. And it was like just this.
Oh my gosh.
But that
feeling. What a moment.
Oh, it just.
Yeah. And it's like, a crazy feeling where you like almost want to run up to a stranger.
Exactly.
This is me. This makes no sense. But you're like, that would be weird. I am not allowed to do that.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so good.
Okay. Well, I think I would love to hear another song of yours now. And then after that, we've actually got some questions a few people have sent in that I would love to ask on their behalf.
Great.
And then we can kind of wrap this thing up. I could just keep chatting forever. But you said you wanted to choose between either Souvenirs or In the Waiting. So what are you feeling right now? What does one of those talk to you in this moment?
In the Waiting feels scarier, so we should probably do that.
Okay, let's do that. I like that. I like that feeling. That's okay. Let's do that. Let's dive in. So do you want to, would you like to talk about it before, or would you like to talk about it after?
That's a good question. Do you have any gut instinct on what is the right move here?
There's no right move. There's just, it's like if, I mean, because so for, I, this is something I actually wrestle with a lot because I'm such a story oriented person that when I play live shows, I always tell the stories of the songs beforehand. And I sometimes wonder if I'm impacting people's perception of the song by doing that. And like, at the same time, the feedback has been from people has been, you invited me into that song in a way that I wouldn't have been able to go that first time. But then I'm like, why don't you, because the last time we listened to the song and then told the story. So let's have the story and then let's listen to the song. I'm calling it.
Calling it. I love it. Decisiveness. So this song is about, how do I want to say this correctly? So Jesse is my husband. We have been trying to start a family for coming up on 3 years with no luck. And I struggle. It's technically this would be about infertility. I feel so weird about this word because it feels like it's impossible. It feels like if you're infertile, it sounds like you cannot. So I don't like to use it, but the definition of it is that you've been trying for a year with no success yet. So technically it is about that. And it has been such a roller coaster, and I'm actually at a place right now where I have a lot of peace with it. But the first 2 years especially, it just kind of takes over your life. And we weren't telling a lot of people too. So it was like this huge secret that you're broken up about all the time. And then on the outside, you're not telling anyone. So it was really isolating. I feel like I'm doing a really bad job of depicting this time in my life.
Can I just hop in? And just say from my side, you are doing beautifully, and I'm really feeling what you're saying. And I think just if you need to take a breath and just you're speaking the truth, and it's perfect.
Okay, thanks, Nate. The thing that I learned, sometime in the first year where it really was all I could think about and was very devastating. And I remember getting to a point where I said to Jesse, like, I just want to skip ahead. I just want to like skip ahead to a year from now or skip ahead to when it works, because I don't know that I can move through this pain like this. It's so hard. And then as I said that, I heard myself wishing away my actual life that was actually beautiful. You know, I was still living and learning and existing with people I love and seeing the world around me and nature and And I was so caught up in this arbitrary made up future thing that may or may not ever happen that I was completely missing my life. And it was this huge wake up moment where I was like, whoa, you cannot live like this. And that was where I started to reset. I was like, it's not that I should still be allowed to want this thing and to care for this thing, but I need to start living now because this is the only thing I really have. And right now I'm wasting it with sadness and fear and all of this unnecessary stuff. So that's kind of what the song was born out of. Maybe I'll leave it at that, unless you have any thoughts.
That's beautiful. We can talk a little more after, but I'm so ready to listen to the song. Thank you for sharing your story.
I've been waiting for answers. I've been waiting a long, long time. If I open the door, won't you come inside? My heart's begging for mercy. How much longer can I sit still and be hopeful and doubting and torn inside? Oh. And all this time I've been staring at the minute hand. Oh, what a crime. Oh, that I can't seem to trust in the timing of my tiny existence. I come alive. I stood still in the twilight. I found peace in quiet things. How could I wish away all the in-between? Everything is all
Yeah. It's so beautiful. It really matched the story you told. Like, I really felt the process, like, exactly as you said it. I mean, wow. What a gift. Isn't that the gift, to be able to be one of the people in the world who can take the most wild and gnarly human experiences and make them somehow beautiful? Like, what?
Oh, that's so nice. That's such a nice thing to say. It is a fun thing, I feel like, in general in life, that we get to do is realize that the hard times are often the moments where we will later find the most beauty, the most growth, the most feeling, etc. And when you start to really trust in that, it definitely, I mean, there are things in life that will only ever feel so devastating, but in the context of knowing, like, in that devastation, things can only hurt so much when you really love so much too, you know? I had this thought recently that I was like, oh, sadness is love. Like, you can't have deep sadness if you don't have deep love, because you wouldn't care about anything. So why would you be sad about it? So yeah, it's like, in a way, we're really, I'm really watching my words, because I'm applying what I say to a million situations and be like, that's wrong. But in some ways, in some situations, we're very lucky when difficult things happen to us, as long as, you know, the people we love and we're still intact. But when we come out all right, they're kind of just gifts where we get to, like, learn and feel and grow and stuff.
I so agree. I mean, I think, and I can't speak from really experience, having, I've never had the kind of experiences yet. I know that I will, but having lost people very close to me, or, you know, I've never been, you know, one of the things that came up over the weekend was this feeling of deep acknowledging and confronting and forgiving. I am a white, straight man. I am the end result of the entire patriarchal system. The whole system was built by people who look like me. It was built for people like me. And although I don't agree with it and I don't want it to be that way, I still get the privilege that comes with being a straight white man. And so just by that, I can't have had the experiences that so many other people in this world have had, of loss and betrayal and all that kind of stuff. And one of the stories that keeps coming up to me, and I really have to get this woman's name, and I will put it in the show notes, but she was one of the victims of the genocide, one of the genocides in Africa. And I can't remember which country in Africa it was in. But basically, her entire family, all her friends, were murdered in a huge massacre not even that long ago. And she tells her story. She's actually written a book, which I really want to read. And she tells her story about how she and I think 5 or 6 other women were hidden in a small bathroom at the neighboring pastor, who was part of the other tribe that was committing these atrocities. He hid them and pushed a cupboard in front of the bathroom door, and they stayed in there for 3 months. And while there was something like 1 million people being killed in the country, and she spoke, but what's so profound about her story is she talked about her hate and how she spent days and days and days sitting in that bathroom and just hating these people for what they did to her and for what they did to her people. And the more she hated, the more she started to hurt. And she said, literally, my body and my head started to hurt. And I just kept feeding it. And eventually she had this moment where she realized that the hate was hurting her. And that hate only ever hurt her. And I've got like my whole body. And she in that moment literally forgave the people who had done these things, really forgave them at the deepest level, and was fully liberated and actually could have like forgiveness for them. And so I think even the most terrible and just horrific stuff that could happen to anyone can be transmuted. It's alchemical process. Yeah. It can be turned into gold. We would never choose it. I would never choose it for someone else. I would never choose it for myself. But if those things happen and we can face them and go into them and allow them to like wash us, process us through that, then we can become gold. And so,
yeah,
thank you for that song. I love true music. Like, to me, I mean, what got me into music was lyrics, and it was lyrics that had meaning and had purpose. Mm-hmm. And those songs that you've just played for us right now, like, that is what it's about. And you did it so gently and with such heart. That's amazing.
Thank you for being so nice. And thank you for letting me play them.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure. Oh my gosh. Okay, so is there anything else you feel that you want to say before we move into some questions? Is there anything that's sitting with you?
No. I think we can go to question part. Yeah.
Cool. So the first one I want to share is actually from my dear friend, Jessica Alossary, who in her message to me, she's one of my very best friends, and she's an amazing singer-songwriter, and she's actually...
Did you do an episode with her?
I did do an episode with her.
I think I heard it and I loved her.
Yeah. She's so cool. I actually, that song you just played, I really heard a lot of similar, kind of the way you guys did the harmonies there, some similarities in the way that you two would have recorded that. I love that. Anyway, she's actually currently on tour in the States doing house concerts, and she's just an amazing human. I love her so much. And we met through Patreon. And anyway, she asked, first of all, she said in the message that you are one of the reasons she started doing what she did, which was, so she's like, 10 years ago, I saw one of her videos and it just inspired the crap out of me. And
no way.
Totally.
Oh my
gosh.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's so cool. And the question she asked was around like music business. She said, why hasn't she signed with a big label yet? If I remember correctly, I think I read somewhere that she's had a few offers but never took them. So that was her question.
Yeah, that's such a good question. So I, about 10 years ago, was signed to Interscope. So I had a moment of a big label. and it became abundantly clear for me and my music that there would never, ever be a time in which that was correct for me. And I don't want to sound super anti-label, because they certainly have a purpose, and for the right person, they can do so much, right? Mm. But my experience was, you know, I had an album written, and they were like, well, we'll release a new album you write with a bunch of co-writers we select for you. And I was like, I can't really co-write. It terrifies me. And, you know, it's like diary entries. I need to be alone and crying in the dark to write my songs. And so I left that label, and it still took some time for me to give up that dream, because we're all brought up thinking you've only made it when you're signed to a major label. And I tried some independent labels, but what I've found more and more as I go through the industry is that no one is going to care as much about your music as you do, and as the people who listen to it and understand it do. And so I kept trying, I feel like we are born into a time where we have the tools we need. And I kind of don't see the need, unless you want to be a big pop star on the radio, do that sort of thing. I don't know that labels can help us much. And I've seen so many friends just be held back by them. I think they can just squash your own creativity, or, you know, I have friends who have albums done and they haven't been able to release them for a year, and it's just sitting there and they can't do anything creatively. So I'm super on team do it alone with the people who listen to you. And, you know, now I have my own label thanks to Patreon with my listeners. And since doing that has been the coolest thing ever. And I feel so, so good. And yeah, I love it.
Perfect. Thank you. You've just reflected so many of the things that I have experienced. I've never been like approached by a label. I've never signed with a label, but I also have so many friends who have been screwed by labels, basically. And yeah. I acknowledge that they can be really useful for some people. No one actually that I know personally, but I see that there are artists out there who I follow and admire who are working with labels and doing really well. But I think that that's in the minority. And I actually have a friend whose career was completely destroyed by signing to a label, because once they have control, if they go, we're busy with other stuff, you've signed away your creativity. You can't actually move forward without them legally. And it's like, so anyway, that's intense. And I wish, so for anyone who does want to join a label, I think the key is to empower yourself as a creator and really like get the knowledge, get the information, find the people who love your music. And then you can do it from a place of power, and you don't have to be where they're like, anything they tell you, well, here's the contract and sign it or else. And I think that happens to so many people. I remember one of my friends in South Africa being like, I have to buy every single one of my CDs that I want to sell. I first have to buy it from the label and then I can sell it to other people. Right. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
It's so crazy. Oh, it's so weird.
Anyway. Yeah. There was a slightly funny thing that I wanted to, this isn't a question, but when I Googled you, I found like a website, marriedbiography.com, like random. I don't know. And there was this whole little thing about, and I just thought I wanted to read it to you because it's kind of like weird and funny and just strange.
Okay, I'm so scared.
Yeah, I know. It's like, the first sentence, Kina Granis is a married woman.
Okay, got that right.
Anyway, then it goes on to say like this intimate wedding ceremony, all these little things. Oh, and then it says that you guys were high school sweethearts and he proposed on Valentine's Day of 2013. And then the part that really got me was the second last sentence, which is the couple is currently living together without any sign of divorce.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad. No signs to be seen.
We've tried to find it. I know, very strange. Anyway, that was, I actually screenshotted that. So I had to just share that. But so we have a few more questions.
Great.
So Eric asked two questions. So we can kind of, we'll see which we can answer either or both. But the first one was, what's your favorite old video you've watched recently of yours?
I'll just speak generally to that time. In the first year that I was on YouTube, it started with me doing a video every day for a couple months, and then I was doing once a week for a while. When it was all so new, and it was exhausting because I was doing so many, but it was so exciting to feel, you know, I was so shy and reserved in college, and I was very much in my shell and playing in dark stairwells by myself. And then the internet, it's like it let me find my people, and it was so life-giving to find people that were like-minded. And so there was just like a joy about the early videos that I feel kind of gets lost these days because YouTube is so polished now. But I did really love the, I just got so weird in them. I was so weird. It was so fun. I should try to find that again.
No, I love that. I'm like, Nate makes a note to go back and watch early Kina videos.
Oh God.
Don't. Oh, cool. Well, and then the other question you had was, on your last stream, you mentioned a cover you thought was going to do terribly. What recent cover have you been most excited about before posting?
Well, one that I did semi-recently, it was Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer. And it's not, I didn't do anything. It's not that special. It's fine. It's whatever. But it's something, it was one of those moments again where I was just sitting on a couch and I was just playing my guitar. And then Kiss Me was one of the first songs I learned. And so I was like, oh, what were those chords? And I started playing it. And then I was like, oh, I fell in love with it all over again. It just felt so good to sing. Of course, by the time I released it, I was like, this is terrible. I shouldn't even release it. But in the moment, I felt a lot of joy.
Oh, well, that's nice. That happens to me too so much. Does it happen to you ever that, like, so I get this, it's quite a predictable kind of graph of my songwriting experience, is that I start a song and I'm like, this is the best song ever. I love this. This is amazing. And then sometimes really quickly, sometimes after a little bit of time, but there's pretty much always this moment where I suddenly play it and I'm like, this is the worst song that anyone has ever tried to write. I should never play this for anyone. And then it kind of comes back up to like an even keel eventually where I'm like, it's okay. I like it.
Yeah.
Does that happen to you?
I feel so similar. Yeah. And I have, especially the second I release it, is like this other moment of huge dip where I'm like, oh, it's actually terrible. It's actually really boring and embarrassing. This is the moment they all realize that I'm a fraud. And then, you know, and then it comes back up. But it just goes to show how influenced I still am. And I hate this. I hate a strong word. This is a thing I would love to work on in myself. There is still so much of me riding on the approval of other people. Totally. And so it's like I feel safer if before I release it, I already know it's terrible so that I'm braced when the world is like, it's terrible. But then if people are like, oh, this really resonated with me and it felt good, then I'm like, oh, I'm okay. But I shouldn't be relying on that.
Yeah, I feel you though. Yeah. I'm so there. Like that is such a work in progress of that, just acknowledging that we let go. It comes through and then letting go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so good at that. And have you watched the TED talk with Elizabeth Gilbert where she talks about the genius or the muse?
I love it. Yeah. The like genius in the walls or something.
Yeah. Where it like comes and you have it and then sometimes it goes and it's okay. It's not your fault.
And if it's a bad song, it's the muse's fault. Yeah. I didn't write it. I actually do feel that way. Yeah, so.
Sometimes exactly. Oh, that's funny. So I have one more question, which is from one of my lovely patrons, who is a really sweet lady named Erin. And she asks, what's it like a double barrel question? She says, who/what are her inspirations? And when do we get to hear a Keena Nate song?
Oh,
sneaky.
That would be fun.
That would be fun.
We just infuse it with so many feelings.
It's all the feelings. It would just literally leak out of people's screens, just puddles of feelings.
So that should happen. My inspirations, what are my I would say musically, they would be, I grew up listening to a lot of James Taylor. My dad listened to James Taylor. So that's like the heart of music to me is like James Taylor's voice. And then a band called K's Choice from Belgium was when I first discovered music for myself really deeply. And in recent years, it's like Imogen Heap and Sigur Rós and Bon Iver, and things like that. But I think the biggest inspiration is just life. Mm. It's just all the things that we feel and see and experience, I think, really. Yeah.
I'm with you on that. There's actually a quote that I have in my little like digital notebook, which kind of relates to that, I think, maybe, or I'm pushing it, but you can say it. It says, if you need something to worship, then worship life, all life, every last crawling bit of it. We are all in this beauty together.
Mm.
And yeah, that's a line from Dune, actually the book, the science fiction book, which I really love.
Oh, I love that. That totally resonates with me.
Yeah. Mm. Figured it would. So yeah, and I guess we'll do a song sometime. I only want to do a song if we can do it when we're hanging out in person. I think that would be a good time to.
Like, I agree.
I mean, anyway, that's that. I would love to do a song with you someday. I think it would be special. And it'd be interesting to find a song that like has the feels that we could just like really, like hopefully we'd both be weeping by the end of it. Like that would be.
Yeah, the goal is everyone bawling.
Yeah, literally, we can't finish it because it's just too intensely emotional. I actually did, if you get a moment, or maybe I'll send you a link afterwards, but I did two covers with Jessica Lossery, and one of them was Empty by Ray LaMontagne, which is, I don't know if you've heard that song, but I'm actually kind of scared to share it with you because it's such a good, he wrote such a good song that I'm like, it's like that feeling of like, you probably shouldn't hear this, but.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's amazing. I will definitely listen.
Anyway, so I feel like I can't. Was there anything else? Where are we? Where am I? What's happening? No, I think we have done so. This has been such a profoundly moving and beautiful conversation. I really have enjoyed speaking with you, Keena. Thank you so much.
Oh, this is so fun. You make it so enjoyable, and I love all the things that you think about and talk about. So it's just a joy for me.
Thank you. Yeah, I had this again, this experience over the weekend. And at some point I had this line come into my head, which was literally, it seems to help. And it was connected to my music, and not just my music, but what I bring into the world. And like, because I've tried so hard to define it. And so it's like, I make a podcast and it seems to help.
Yeah, I love that. It doesn't need to be this grand thing. It's just, if it seems to help, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
I just thought that was funny. So, and I feel that about you too. I know that that's challenging for you to hear and that you've got all the stories about yourself where you aren't and where you want to be. And, but from my perspective, and I know from many other people's perspectives, it seems to help. Like, it's just you're a real person doing real things, showing up and choosing to be honest and authentic with the world. And I think more than anything, that is what the world needs right now. So from me, thank you very much, Kina Granis.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was the inimitable, the wonderful, the magnificent Kina Granis. And as I'm sure you now know, if you didn't before, she is super rad. The show notes will have links to as many of the things I could find. We talked about a lot. I put some quotes from Kina in there, just all the goodness. Also links to her Patreon, her music, etc. Kina Granis, thank you so much for your presence in this world, on my podcast, in my life. I think you are epic. And I'm so excited that we got to have this conversation and got to be human together in all our wonderful insecurities and weirdness and pure beauty, which is really, we're here to human. That's it. And so thanks to anyone listening. Thanks for humaning with us. Thank you for together coming to realize that it's okay to just show up, be human, have the experience, feel what we feel, learn, grow, love, fail, explore, expand, explode, live, die, rebirth, all the things, all together, always, all the time. Let me know your thoughts at nakedwithnate.com. I'd love to hear from you. It rocks my world to hear from you. And until next time, thanks again to Kina Granis. Thank you to you for listening. I wish you all the blessings. Thanks for getting Naked with Nate.
Well, I'm here naked. That's the truth, and so are you, and it's okay to remember that it's okay to really feel.